This is Chubby Ray Live. And here is your host, Mr. Ray Lytle.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Welcome to a beautiful Friday. It's Chubby Ray Live. Happy weekend. Chubby Ray Live. I'll tell you something. I don't usually get into statistics and stuff of people listening to the show. You know, I leave mm-hmm. that to, you know. Okay. I'll leave that to the other experts to decipher, but I will say this. Our show starts anywhere between, you know, 4:30 and quarter to 5 on a Friday every week, okay? I mean, there's always something playing at 4:30. It just depends on when we start talking. For example, I did not eat lunch today. I'm eating lunch right now, actually. So I had a nice little intro with some music and some old clips and things like that to start the show. You people on the podcast, you don't hear that. Just the live listeners get that. But there are different ways to listen to this show. I don't think it's any secret that the majority of listeners pick it up through podcasting. Mm-hmm. That's the new thing. Podcasting and on-demand playing.
Okay, that is the forward
way. In fact, I'll tell you what's huge. You know that player that's on the front of ChubbyRay.com?
Yeah.
That green player that plays the show? Mm-hmm. People love to listen to the show off that thing.
It's so easy to do.
Yeah, it's very easy. You're right. It's very easy. Just put it on the background and listen to it. Or you go to thepodcast.com or off of Facebook. I now make it to where if you're on Facebook, you just clip. You don't even have to go off of Facebook to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You just clip a button and it starts playing. So, and you shrink down the page and just leave it playing while you're doing your other stuff. And then you have your podcast. Like I said, people download it and all that things. But here you go. Then, of course, there's live listeners. People always listen to it live.
I appreciate them.
And there's various ways to do it. We are video and audio on a stick, the stick cam feed. Which, by the way, I talked to someone about us joining their stick cam station and syndicating mm-hmm. our show to it. And I have not gotten the code from them, but we're probably going to be doing that soon.
Cool.
We also have a Ustream feed. All right.
What are you eating?
I'm eating something called a sun chip. I'm sorry. Can you hear that?
I can hear that quite well, yes.
I'm not done eating lunch.
Well, please continue, but
thank
quieter.
It's over there. You know, it's just I want to get it done.
Mm. Oh, well, yeah. Fair enough.
They're called sun chips. They're very tasty.
Okay.
Mm. Anyway, so, I forgot where I was. Oh, so you can watch us over the Ustream feed. There's a Ustream feed of us. You can watch it there. Mm-hmm. And also, we have a live audio feed that is fairly decent, you know, listenership, you know. And people can listen. If they just want to hear the audio, you can listen from your desktop. Or the new thing is you can listen on your phone. You know, with any of these applications. For example, I've told you before about this Pocket Tunes. You can listen through Pocket Tunes, and I know several people that do that. And
mm-hmm.
So the show starts prior to 5 p.m. on Fridays. Usually, the phone listening, that's when people are doing it in their car, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be, that usually picks up a little after 5 o'clock, okay?
Uh-huh.
A central time, which is where we do the show. Except on Fridays, it's amazing. It's amazing the number of people on Fridays that start listening to the show around 4:30.
So the early release from work?
I don't know if they actually are releasing early or...
Or they're just getting off early
without telling anyone. It's just something they're choosing to do. I don't know. But I do know on Fridays, boy, I'll tell you.
Drive time.
At 4:30, there's a lot of people listening to that audio-only feed in their car. You know?
Try not to crash at the sound of Hillbilly Joe's voice.
See, a lot of people seem to get off early on Fridays. So that's all I'm pointing out. Not making any kind of judgment. I used to love Fridays. When I was doing... I still love Fridays, but... I used to be, doing that FM show every day. You get up at 4:30 in the morning and drag your ass in there and start the show at 6. Supposed to end at 10. I never ended at 10. Show would always end up going to like 11 or so.
Yep, I remember it.
And then, prior to that, you know, this is even back further, prior than when you listened to me, back in the old days.
The olden days.
The Morning Disaster Show, which, in my opinion, was much better than the Ray Lytle Show. But that's just my opinion. Times were different then. We'd go till 11, 11:30, whenever we get done with the show. And then every day I would, I'd have meetings afterwards, and I'd meet with the producers and talk about this and that and plan this, plan that. Then I'd have to meet with the bosses or go, you know, blah, blah, blah. Always these things to do, except on Fridays. The second the Friday show was over, I would grab my briefcase or whatever I had. Usually it was a briefcase. If not a briefcase, it would be, you know, other stuff that I'd carry, you know. Literally, I'd say, that's it. So long, everybody. Talk to you Monday. You know, we'd play a song. We'd play Party Town. Then I'd say, talk to you on Monday. See you later. I'd hit the button that would go 92.7 WQ. You know, it would go into the call letters of the station and all that stuff. And at that point, I would turn, I would sigh, you know, big show's over sigh. Grab my briefcase, which one of the producers would know in advance to have it ready for me. They, like around 10 o'clock, they would already start packing everything in the briefcase, getting it all ready, because they know, you know, the clock's ticking.
Yep,
I would grab my, I literally would say goodbye, hit the button, grab my briefcase, get up from my chair, high five Sean Balint to say goodbye, you know, high five him or, you know what I mean, pat him on the back, whatever it would be, because he'd be sitting there. I would say goodbye to anybody in the studio, and I would, with my briefcase in hand, I would walk out the door, and then I would start walking down the hallway, and whoever the producer of the show was at the time, they would walk down the hallway with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just be a case of, what do you want to do about this, 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 and I'd say, well, dude, that, blah, 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 you know, I'd talk a couple different things as I'm walking down the hall. And then, and when I got to the end of the hall, the door to go outside, I would open the door to outside, and I would stop listening at that point.
Well, that's okay.
And the producer would still try to talk, and I would just be blah, 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 you know. And I would continue to walk until I got to my car. I would get in my car. A lot of times, producer's still talking. I would get in my car. I would put my key in, turn on the car, put down the top of my convertible while they were still talking. And then as soon as the convertible top was down, I don't care whoever it was, if they were in mid-sentence.
Bye.
Drive. Gone.
See ya.
I loved Fridays. I don't care what was going on Friday. I don't care. As soon as the show was over, I was out of there on Fridays.
If you do a five-day week, Friday, you never work.
Yeah,
well,
Monday through Thursday, I wouldn't be like that. But Friday, I'd be like, and that's probably one of the things that hurt me, because some of the people there, they would always have, like, potlucks, or they had the whatever club. They had some kind of club for everybody to be teammates, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd want to do things on Friday afternoons, you know.
Ugh.
They'd expect you to have a get-together with coworkers on a Friday afternoon.
Team building.
Yeah. Ugh. Where they'd watch a stupid movie or have a, you know.
Screw that.
Whatever. And they would be like, Ray's a dick. He never stays for it. Ray's an ass. He never wants to be a team member. That's not it at all. Those things are designed for people who worked from 9 a.m. in the morning until 5 p.m. at night.
Mm-hmm.
I work from 4:30 in the morning until noon. These things wouldn't even start till 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So in order for me to be a team bonder or whatever the hell they wanted me to do, that would actually require me working my entire day and then staying later to hang out with these people who are my coworkers. I didn't dislike my coworkers, but they were that. They were coworkers. Some coworkers become friends. Other coworkers are simply coworkers. When you take a job, you don't agree to become friends with everybody you work with. You work with them. They're your teammates, you know? When your game's mm-hmm. over, you don't have to hang with them.
Yep, that should be the way.
So these people would be like, I don't understand why you don't want to come party at the potluck. I'd be, all right, for starters, really, is the potluck a party? It's a freaking potluck. Secondly, you people, and I'd like to explain this now in case any of them are listening, why they think I'm a dick when I really wasn't. And I think at the time I was probably too self-absorbed, not that I'm not still incredibly narcissistic, but at the time I believe I was too self-absorbed to explain it correctly. So let me explain it now, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You people loved those events because your work schedule was from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it took place at 1 p.m. So yep. You were all excited because it basically would break up your day. You would be getting paid to screw around for an hour and a half, you know, in the big team bonding session. Me, I got paid to be there from 6 a.m. till the end of the show. That's when they paid me. My workday was over at noon. Plus, I had to go home. I had to write the next show. You know, a lot of stuff goes into it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, for me to stay, to be part of these potlucks and stuff, I would have to complete my full day of work. Then, on top of that, stay around waiting for the screwing off to begin.
Ugh.
And I had an infant. My daughter had just been born.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I would much rather go home and spend time with my baby and my wife. And I bought this big, beautiful house. And at the time, I just wanted to go home and live in this house that I was spending all my money on and be with my family who I loved. I didn't want to just hang out with it didn't mean I didn't dislike them. Or it didn't mean I didn't like them.
Oops, I did Freudian
not,
slip.
Listen, I did not dislike. I really don't remember disliking anybody. I liked all of them. But they were so offended that I didn't want to hang out with them with these bonding things that were in the middle of their day. But you got to remember, it was past the end of my day.
Yep.
So it was very frustrating for me. And that was one of the reasons that I have this reputation of Ray's an asshole. I'm not an asshole. Well, since when is it bad to want to go home and hang out with your family? I don't think that's bad at all.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Now listen, it would be hypocritical of me if I were to throw something and then get mad at people when they don't show up. But I never did that. I'd care less.
No.
Couldn't care less.
If you don't have to be there, why be in work? That's people just must be silly to think.
People, Poolside Pat's in there saying he gets the same thing for people that want to go out for drinks after work. Yeah, I got that all the time. Let's go out for drinks. Let's go for this. It's so-and-so's birthday. But listen, that's great. I don't begrudge anyone who does that. Me personally, I cherish every second I get to spend with my family. I do. I love it. I mean, I love every second. You know, it's what I like. I enjoy spending time with my family.
That I can understand.
People all the time, they go, what would you like to do? I go, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to win the lottery, okay? I'd like to win the lottery and then just spend the rest of my years just hanging out with my wife and child. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do anything. That's what I would like to do. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
if people get the wrong impression, so it's not your fault.
Yeah, so they would get angry at me, you know. People would get angry at me for not going to these station functions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a big hassle. Everything would be a hassle, you know. So.
Yeah.
So they thought I was an ass. But I really wasn't being an ass. It had nothing to do with my like or dislike for these people.
Mm-hmm.
It had everything to do with the hours that it happened. Listen, if they'd have had something at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning right when I got off work, you know?
That would be okay.
I would have gladly participated.
Yeah, that would be fine.
It was inconvenient for me to come back at work at 1:30 in the morning. Then they started doing these things that would happen at 4 o'clock, Gully. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because that way they could take off the last hour of work and screw around and have a cookout and watch a movie. And they'd be like, Ray's just a dick. He won't show up. I'm like, wait a minute. I leave work at noon. You want me to drive all the way home? And by the way, I live in Chatham, which is a suburb of Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
The radio station I worked with at the time was all the way in a town called Riverton, which is a mm-hmm. north suburb of Springfield. But
so it's far away.
It's a good like 8 miles north of it or something. It is a 20, so it's a 28 minute, whatever it is. It's like a half hour to drive from where I live to there. Now, a half hour is not a lot, I know. But when you drive that half hour at, you know, 5:30 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you drive that half hour at noon, then they expect you to go home, get in the middle of something, pick up everything you're doing at 4 o'clock, drive back there the half hour to show up for something that's going to last 1 hour and usually involve alcohol,
mm-hmm.
eating, watching movies, then get back in my car an hour later and drive another 30 minutes back home. To me, that was just, it was too much.
Well,
it was too much. And it would always, and you know what? It would involve, like, when my wife, you know, with her working and everything, it would involve us getting a babysitter, and because I had my kid. It really was a hassle. And yet, everybody thought I was some kind of a jerk because I chose not to participate in these,
Well, make them come in at 4 a.m. and do the same with you.
Yeah, but when I started implying things like that, everybody said, oh, he's just a dick.
Oh.
So I have this horrible reputation as being this terrible coworker because of that. And I don't know, maybe somebody's listening to this and going, God, Ray, that's the most shallow, ridiculous thing that you feel that way. And I don't know, maybe it is, but I don't see anything wrong with the way I feel.
I don't see that as being shallow because it's your free time. You want to do in your free time what makes you happy, and that's your family.
I love being a team member, and I loved working. But my job mm-hmm. when I worked, okay, my job when I worked was I had a contract that clearly spelled out what my job was, and I mm-hmm. did it. I achieved it. I succeeded well beyond what I was supposed to be succeeding. That's why I got all my bonuses. That's why they had to switch my bonus structure. So I was making too much money the other way. I was well above expectations.
I don't think any of them would have turned up at 4 a.m. to do the same, though. Let's be honest.
It does bother me. The company that I worked for, all right, this WQLZ,
mm-hmm.
I made millions of dollars for that company. Mm-hmm. Millions of dollars. And no one, listen, it's a fact. No one can deny that. I made millions of dollars for that film. I put millions of dollars in the pockets of Tom Cusack, Tom Walker, all these people with a company called Midwest Family.
Okay.
And as soon as I went for an interview in Miami, I come back. They tell me, they say, hey, if anyone wants to look for another job, be honest with us, and we'll help you or we'll figure something out. My contract's going out. I said, listen, I don't want you guys to find out other ways. I just want you to know that this is what happened. And they said, oh, yeah, yeah, we know. We already hired your replacement. I mean, that's basically how it went down.
I mean, there
was a lot more to it. Of course, I'm summing it all up. But I was in a situation where I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not even going to take that job. I'm not even going to take it if it's offered.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So the thing that makes me mad is I made millions of dollars for this company, all right? Mm-hmm. And I hear all the time about how they mother-effed me behind my back.
Some people need to just leave it, really, don't they?
You know what I mean?
Silly. It's childish.
Millions of dollars for that company? You mother-effed me behind my back? How dare you?
Screw them.
And this new guy in charge, who I've met with several, we've went to lunch like four times, me and this guy. I like the guy. Mm-hmm. He seems like a really good guy. I mean, on the surface, maybe he's a backstabbing mother effer or something. I don't know. But I've met with him several times. He has come across as a decent human being every single time we've met. I've enjoyed our conversations.
Okay.
I've constantly enjoyed it. But then I am told by people all the time that they mother-effed me behind my back. I can't believe it. I'm shocked by this. I'm shocked
bitchy.
By that company to mother-eff me. It insults me beyond belief. It does. It bothers me. It really bothers me that these people are mother-effing me. Because I really did. I had nothing but success for that company. I respect and consider everybody I worked for and with as being important people in my life. It's come in. It's supposed to come in from nameless and faceless people. It's very, very insulting to me.
It seems like the radio industry over there and probably everywhere, it seems a little bit childish and petty at times, yeah, I think.
It really does. It just bothers. Listen, I could see the CSers over at that Newhoff doing it. The most unprofessionally run organization I've ever worked for. I could see them doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was more important to be smoke cigarettes at the picnic table because that's where all of the work was done, obviously. Because all the people who backstabbed me, who took knives and stabbed me in the back, were all part of the little smoker group that sat around the picnic table. By the way, not working, just sitting out there and smoking. A company that had no offices, when I was first hired, told me flat out, we don't have any office space. I said, fine, I got an office at home, I'll work out of there. They said, that's great. And then, one of the reasons they said that, is they said, well, he leaves right after his show. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And the guy in charge, who I thought was a pretty good guy, he was busy worrying about his divorce and what the hell his wife or ex-wife or whatever the hell was doing and didn't give a rat's ass about the radio station. And somehow that I ended up becoming a victim of that. That was very insulting to me. And when the program director, who I pray for nothing but horrible things to happen to, says to my face, I'm too old for the format, that was insulting. You know, I expect it from them. I expect it from them. I didn't expect it from the other place who I made millions of dollars for.
No, that's
so. That's
certainly
very, it's
doesn't
very
sound
troublesome.
Nice.
It's very, very bothersome when I hear stuff like that. But then again, I don't know. Maybe the people I'm hearing it from are they're lying too. Who knows? They're lying. But this is just my way of saying it. Listen, it's my way of saying it. If it's out there, then it's wrong, and you should feel bad about it. You should feel bad about it. You really should.
I would think so.
You know. They just should.
My opinion is they sound like jackasses. So well, there you go.
I don't care. It's very frustrating to me. But I think it kills them. It kills them that I still have a bunch of listeners that listen to me every day. You know what kills them? People said, why do you do this? They go, why do you do this? I said, you go on every day. I'll tell you, number one, I do this because I enjoy broadcasting. I do. I enjoy doing the show. Number two, the reason why I started doing this, you got to keep your licks. You know what I mean? If you're a professional mm-hmm. baseball player and you're cut from a team and you think there's another yep. team that could pick you up, you still work out every day. You still play ball. You still stay in shape. This started out as my staying in shape. Number three, the reason why I do this every day, because it pisses them off. It pisses them off. They're like, why won't he just go away? And now they hear there's a bunch of advertisers trying to advertise on my show.
It cracks them up then.
Yeah. It bothers them. They go, oh, my God, now he's trying to get advertised. Oh, God. It has to bother them.
If I'm helping to piss people off, then I'm all for this.
Yeah.
I'm well for that.
I just don't understand it. I find it so hard to believe that people are, I don't know.
It's sad.
Oh, well. I don't know if you can tell I'm a little hoarse today.
Just a tad.
Yeah, but it's because of several reasons. Yesterday I did two shows, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But let's go back a few days. All right. I did this show.
Yep.
On Tuesday. Then I did this show Wednesday. Right after this show, I went to band practice. And mm-hmm. I screamed at band practice, you know, for 3 hours.
Yep.
Singing songs. I got very, very little sleep yesterday. And then I did our show, then I did the Duh Media show, so there's a lot of talking, you know.
It's going to take its toll.
Yeah, a lot of talking. And then after the talking there, I went to my daughter's softball practice. I coach my daughter's softball team.
Mm-hmm.
And while at her softball practice, you know, you're as a coach, you encourage children, you know, you encourage them.
Like, yeah, of course.
You know, good hit, good this, good that. You know what I mean? You encourage the mm-hmm. kids, and that's what I was doing. I was encouraging them. And I was doing a lot of screaming, you know, while that was going on. You know, because, like, I was behind home plate working with the hitters. And then when the girls would hit the ball, the girls in the field would field it. And I was screaming out to the fielders, good job, or throw the ball here, or do this, do that. So I was screaming there. And then I come back today. My mother comes over and wants to have a conversation with me, thinking that we're somehow at the UN or something. Like a debate setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I converse with her, and I have to have these long conversations. She won't stop. And then I get on, I start doing this show. So I'm hoarse because I have overused my voice this week.
Yeah, you've pushed it.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoarse. So please forgive me, everybody. I know it's obvious, but you know, that's what's going on. I'm not sick or anything. I'm just a little my voice is just overused.
Nothing a nice weekend won't fix.
Let me take a call. Hi, you're on Chubby Ray Live. Hello. Hello, caller.
Hey, it's Dustin in Deutschland.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
Dustin calling
Dustin
from Germany.
Welcome.
This is our German listener.
Hey. Yeah, welcome. What's up, guys?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, you guys were talking Wednesday. You know, it's too bad Gorilla's not here. But you guys, I couldn't catch a live show on Wednesday to call in, but you guys had a real good conversation about, well, you guys were talking about Oklahoma City, and you got into how in Arizona they're going to start pulling over brown people and checking for citizenship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Gorilla said, "Well, what part of the Constitution says that they're not allowed to do that?" Well, I just so happen to be one of these radicals that keeps a Constitution in the house.
And, nice. Well done.
And I just wanted to say, Amendment 4, the Fourth Amendment says, it reads, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the places to be searched and persons or things to be seized." This means the police are not allowed to go ahead and just set up checkpoints and just go ahead and randomly pull people over.
With the exception of if they are endangering the welfare of others, right? There was something that there's an amendment, I can't remember which one it is.
Right.
It allows them to do it, which is how they get away with the whole drunk checkpoints. Let me know how someone being an illegal immigrant is endangering the welfare of others. And I don't see anything in there that says that having brown skin is a reason to pull someone over, because it's not. But listen, Dustin, I'll tell you, don't get started on Gorilla. I've got, after Gorilla's comments yesterday, oh my God. I have several emails, several Facebook messages, Twitter direct Twitters, everybody slamming Gorilla and his ridiculous beliefs. And I got to tell you, and let me say this. Let me say this, because there's a lot of anger towards Gorilla.
I don't have no anger.
I know, but
Gorilla,
let me just say this. Gorilla does feel that way somewhat, but I honestly feel, and Gully, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I also think that yesterday Gorilla realized he was getting under my skin, and I think he intentionally pushed it by getting more extreme in his beliefs.
He over-egged the pudding, my favorite phrase.
Just to piss me off, to be honest with you. At least that's what I think.
Oh yeah, I think he was kind of screwing with you yesterday, but.
I don't think he really believes it.
He wanted to know where it said in the Constitution, and there it is.
So the Fourth Amendment is what would be the answer. Listen, Dustin, thank you. I know Gorilla listens to this. I know he will listen to this. So I'm sure he'll comment. Take notes. I thank you, Dustin.
What we're starting to realize, though, gentlemen. I mean, I realize that this isn't that type of show, but what we're starting to realize, really. When we talk about that, and I love the way you guys converse about it, because you guys seem like you guys have the more intelligent conversation than the people on the news. And, the thing is that we're starting to realize now, gentlemen, how much we've allowed our countries to slip, into this letting people just go ahead, pull us over at random, go ahead. The police have to ask you to consent to a search. You don't have to go ahead and let them search your car. And they have to go, if we go to the amendment again, it says probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, meaning the police have to go to the judge and provide what has been done that's wrong and against the law. The judge can sign off on a warrant, so they can go ahead and search you.
The biggest concern.
This is how far we've slipped,
My biggest concern with that is, to get serious for a minute, my biggest concern is that it's such a it happens. The police all the time commit illegal searches and seizures. People who have it's just another case of people who have will always have an advantage over people who don't have. People who are arrested or put in a situation because of one of those illegal searches can afford a lawyer to get them acquitted of all charges. People who don't have money are at an unfair disadvantage because all they can afford is a public defender. And I don't care what you tell me. And I know some people that were public defenders. I also know people that were that were assistant district attorneys. And I'm telling you, you cannot tell me that the public defenders give as good a defense for as good a defense as someone you are paying.
Oh, yeah.
When someone who's over, when someone who's whose worth is over $1 million decides to use a public defender, then I will believe that a public defender gives a rat's ass about the people they're representing, because they don't. They're overworked. The system's flawed, and I'm so sick of people who are at the advantage saying that the system isn't flawed, because it is. It's flawed. America is flawed for people who don't have, and it just continues to benefit more and more the people who do have. And I'll tell you, that's not what it was about when we made this country. When we made this country, that's not what it was about. This country was about, you know, it was about a bunch of people who were sick of the rich bastards from England. No offense, Gully.
Well, I'm not rich.
But we were sick and tired of the rich bastards from England. Because, listen, the people, you know, the ruling class in the United States were English. You know, the ruling class, they came from Europe. There wasn't anybody coming from Africa who was ruling. There was very few people coming from anywhere but Europe that were in charge of this country. And you look at the guys who were in the Constitution. I think 85% of them are of English descent. And the other ones are, the other ones got it from, I want to say, some kind of Dutch descent, a handful of them or whatever. But they're all English too. But they were middle class or lower class English who came over to the United States. And the same people that they wanted to leave in England, the rich, the aristocracy of England, buddies of the king, they wanted to get away from them in England, so they came to the United States. And then they found out that those sons of bitches were still ruling things here. And that's one of the reasons that we became, was to get away from the haves versus the have-nots. And yes, I know there were wealthy... there were wealthy plantation owners and things like that. Yes, there's always been wealth. But back then, wealth used to come from hard work. Now wealth comes from wealth. You're either born into it or you step on other people to get it. And I just think it's wrong. But I don't know. Yeah, but
that's where they came up with the Tea Party.
Well, but the Tea Party, the big problem with
the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah, but the Boston Tea Party, the funny thing about the Boston Tea Party was the real reason for the Boston Tea Party had to do with the, if I'm not mistaken, they were angry about the tax breaks that the English-owned tea companies were getting as compared to the colonial tea companies. You know what I mean? Like, if you were buddies with the king, you paid less taxes than the colonial tea companies. And then they were doing a whole thing where,
yes.
And that law, and they passed that, the parliament passed that law. I don't know if it was parliament. Was it parliament then, Gully?
I've been in parliament for quite a few hundred years.
I think it was parliament, yeah. So parliament passed the law raising the taxes on colonial-based tea companies without us having any representation. Like, there was not... If England would have had parliament and they would have had someone in the English parliament who was from the United States, we weren't the United States then, but from the new colonies, there might not have ever been a Revolutionary War. They were taxing... They were changing the tax code without representation, and that was the main reason for it, which is very ironic now when you see these tea partiers are complaining... Because we're wanting to raise taxes on corporations, they're complaining, saying that we need to tax less and let the free market reign and blah, blah, blah. It's very ironic that the real reason for the original Boston Tea Party was the exact opposite of what they stand for. They hated the fact that there were tax breaks being given to the rich English tea companies and not the colonial-owned tea parties that were right here, or the tea companies that were right here. Anyway, that's enough seriousness. Dustin, thank you for calling. I hope everything's going well in Germany.
Enjoying your Becks, I hope.
Hey, yeah, most definitely, for sure, man. And screw those guys over there at QLZ. You made that radio station,
well,
right?
I don't want to say screw them because I don't know if it's true. I'm just firing a shot over the bow to say I hope it's not true. That's it. I hope it's not true, what I heard.
It'd be nice to think it wasn't.
QLZ
has never been the same without you on the morning show.
I thank you. But you're in Germany. What do you know? All right, later, Dustin.
All right, bro. Take care, gentlemen. Have a nice weekend.
Bye-bye. There you go. Listener Achtung. Dustin, all the way from Germany.
Nein, Achtung.
Oh, well, I don't know. So there you go. There's our 5 minutes of seriousness today. Get on to some joking.
Yeah.
Speaking of mother effing, where's that Joe at? Where's that damn hillbilly Joe?
Lying in the gutter.
I know. What happened to him?
I don't know. I added him on Facebook again. I had a period of non-Joe for about 4 months.
But I haven't seen him. I don't even know if he's on there.
No, he's not on. No. I think he is lying in the gutter. In his own vomit.
I don't know what he's doing. The damn
Joe.
I don't think
he knows either.
He's supposed to be on every... remember he promised us and said he was going to be on every single Thursday?
Mm-hmm. It's Friday, though.
Yeah, ever since he made the promise, he's never been back.
Nope.
He was on more prior to the promise than he was after it.
Well, he did come on once drunk and say his wife had ripped her tongue out nearly, so...
Yeah, I wanted to hear the after effects of that.
Maybe she'd shut up for a while.
And last we heard, his wife, he had ripped his wife's tongue out of her mouth or some...
Some random
ridiculous
stuff like
thing
that.
Like that.
Yep. That's Joe. You can't script him. You really can't.
I mean, come on.
He's a broken man, let's be honest.
Yeah, so... Oh, well, what do you do? I don't know where the hell he is. Trying to go over things going on in the world? There's not a lot, I'll tell you that.
Well, all the planes in this country are still grounded.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
That's from the Iceland volcano, right?
Yeah, because the hot lava hitting the ice,
wow.
The ice sheet on top.
So do you see what is it doing to the sky?
It's not doing anything to the sky. It's the upper atmosphere where the planes go, obviously. But when you're flying through it, it's got crystals of glass in it somehow, which, you know, interfere with the engines of the plane, cause them to, you know, basically stall, stop, and then you all die. So it's pretty legitimate reason not to fly.
So you're saying there's just ash and stuff up there?
Yeah, the ash, and it contains crystals of glass, strangely enough. And it doesn't mix well with the engines and can cause a devastating crash. So we're just leaving loads of people stuck in different parts of Europe, because most of Europe is now no fly. So,
and they said they don't know when they're going to lift that.
Well, they were saying that it's possibility it could be 1 a.m. this morning, so in about three hours' time. But it was meant to be 1 a.m. Friday morning, early hours of Friday morning, but that didn't happen. So it keeps getting pushed further along.
Well,
I'll
tell you something. You could see why. I mean, that sounds to me like a pretty good idea to keep doing it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get on a plane.
Couple
Normally,
things,
never mind. A
couple other things I want to get to. I don't understand the Republican Party of this country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. The Republicans are now saying, okay, Republicans are now saying that they will block any Wall Street reform.
Mm-hmm.
Any Wall Street reform will be blocked by the Republicans, is what they're saying.
Okay.
They're saying we simply cannot ask the American taxpayer to continue to subsidize this too-big-to-fail policy. We must ensure that Wall Street no longer believes or relies on Main Street to bail them out. Okay, but why are you blocking it? That's the statement that they made. What is... in the hell does that mean?
That's a snake oil kind of mistake.
It is. They're making it seem they're making it seem that they want to do something, but yet they're blocking the reform that basically is doing something.
So basically, they're doing it to piss off the other side.
The Democrats have come up. They've come up with a plan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They have come up with a plan to have regulations put in that would keep these people from continuing to rip us all off. And they want to regulate derivatives, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the big things. They want to what they want to do is the Democrats want to make it illegal for a lot of these practices that these Wall Street bankers have been doing. They want to get rid of them because they say this is what caused the big international. I mean, our problems have become international problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, okay, let's debate this. Let's get it done. The Republicans are refusing to debate it. They're refusing to discuss it. They're basically saying on one side of their mouth, we need to do something because we can't have companies that are too big to fail. But then on the other side of the mouth, they're saying, nope, status quo is fine.
Seems a little bit two-faced.
You got to be kidding me.
Seems very two-faced.
And the most amazing thing is there's people that are like applauding them. Yeah, go get them.
That's bizarre.
People, do yourself a favor. Read. Just read.
Stop looking at the colors and read the letters.
Read. And these Tea Partiers, these idiots, they're supporting the Republicans? What? You got to be kidding me. Take 5 minutes and read what's going on here. They are blocking it. They won't even discuss it.
It's
the country's a mess. They need to do this. And it's so frustrating. I can't even talk about it.
Just let it lie. It's Friday, Ray. Breathe in. Breathe out.
The we have a Supreme Court Justice of the United States retiring.
Mm-hmm. The 90-year-old guy.
He's retiring, and they're developing a short list of people to put on the bench. Our president is. And already, there's accusations of partisan games being played. One of the people that the president is thinking of one of the people rumored to be on the short list, I'll put it this way,
mm-hmm.
is a woman. By the way, first time I saw her, I didn't know she was a woman.
Oh.
And I don't mean that to be disrespectful.
A guy girl.
I know, I don't know. She's not, she just, the picture that I saw, the angle, she looked very masculine in. You know.
Did she have a hairy chin?
She's just not a very, very, she's just not a very feminine woman. She's very short hair and.
Fell out the ugly tree and hit
no,
every branch.
No, she's not an unattractive person. She's just not a very feminine person.
Chisel chin.
Well, here's. I'll just read you the story. Leading gay rights groups are accusing Republicans of trying to rile up their conservative base by launching a whisper campaign against potential Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan. Listen to this. They're saying that the Republicans are going around calling the current solicitor, and she is currently in the administration. She's a solicitor general. Calling the current solicitor general a closeted lesbian and saying that Obama wants to put a lesbian. All the Republicans are going around whispering, saying he's trying to put a lesbian on the court. Now, here's the thing. And this is the thing. The gay rights groups are now involved in this. And they're saying this is wrong. This Whisper campaign is wrong. The Republicans are saying, well, we certainly didn't start this, but if the debate's out there, you know. Meanwhile, the group FLAG, Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbian and Gays, they're getting out there saying that that the Republicans are trying to manufacture this scandal. People love taking parts in rumor like this. And they're saying whether the person is gay or not, because it implies that there's some sort of scandal going on. And the bottom line is it doesn't matter and it shouldn't matter. But we hear all the time, it's a gossip point for people, and I think it could certainly be used or be perceived to be used as some as a way to discredit this woman, even though we all know that it does not matter and it should not matter.
Seems they'll try anything.
So here's the deal. With all this stuff going on, there's this big gay controversy about Elena Kagan. But here's what nobody stopped to ask or find out. Elena Kagan is not gay.
What do you think they'd ask her?
She's not gay. She has nothing.
She's just ugly.
She has nothing against gay people. She just isn't one.
She just looks very butch.
So this poor woman is not. This poor woman is at the center of a gay controversy, and she's not even gay.
Only in America, Ray.
I mean, it's ridiculous. CBS published a blog by a former Bush administration aide and a Republican Senate staffer. In the blog, he said choosing Elena Kagan is going to help Obama please much of his base because she would be the first openly gay justice. That's what started. Then the Republicans started telling everybody, she's gay. He wants to put a gay. Oh, they're going to put a gay up there. Oh, she is a gay, you know.
And it snowballed.
Okay. Finally, the Obama administration had to say today. They had to say. President Obama is only considering people based on their merit as a judge. And their sexual orientation has nothing to do with his deciding whether or not a person will be the next Supreme Court justice.
It seems ridiculous that it's got so far. The White House has to actually comment on it.
Then they said it is ridiculous that the Republicans are using this as a talking point, especially considering Elena Kagan is in fact straight.
Just silly. Silly politics.
It was unbelievable.
It's amazingly silly politics.
Poor woman. I don't know if she's married or if she got a boyfriend or what, but this poor woman is not. And I don't think that it's horrible to be called gay. I don't think that's offensive.
No,
but
of course not.
But it is funny that this woman, you can look at her and tell she's not a good looker. All right, she's already got enough problems.
I'm sure she can take it where she gets it. But
she's probably got enough problem finding a guy. Now you're calling her gay?
Now
I feel sorry for this lady. Oh, God.
I've got an update on a story I talked about earlier in the week.
Oh, go right ahead.
Do you know the trainee teacher, Hannah McIntyre, who lured the 16-year-old into the bedroom after getting him drunk?
Yes.
She
claimed she didn't have sex with him. She just said she was making sex noises.
Sex noises on the bed. The jurors took 75 minutes to dismiss the pupil's claim and clear Miss McIntyre
sleeping
with the boy whilst working at the private school less than 5 minutes away from where I live.
So they believed her that there was no sex going on.
Well, this is what has come out after the case.
All right.
The boy actually made the complaint after he'd been expelled from school.
Oh, boy.
So he'd been expelled several times during the year, and he made the claim after he was no longer at the school.
Let me just say that I am not a teacher. I would love to teach. To be honest, I would love for the next part of my life to be a teacher. I really would. I love coaching. And I'd love to teach. I really would. But as a teacher, I would never, ever have students. There's no reason ever to have a student be in your bedroom.
Never mind. She says she's relieved about, you know, not getting cleared of having sex with them. She bought minors alcohol. She's a teacher. She's never getting a job for that alone.
Yeah, I mean, you there's no reason to ever have students in your bedroom. Right?
Unless you want to get drunk and have sex with them. But,
well, I mean, I'm just, no, I couldn't see myself ever, you know. Like I said, I have coached kids for years.
Mm-hmm.
I've never, with the exception of my daughter, of course, who also plays on my team, there's never been anyone in my bedroom who, you know.
This is going somewhere I don't want it to go.
There never will be.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
wait a minute. I can think of one instance where I could see students in my bedroom.
Okay.
Say I'm teaching a class, high school or college or something, and my wife and I are getting ready to move. So we're going to move.
Okay.
And I want to save money on having movers because, you know, I'm a teacher, so I don't make any money.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm fully prepared if I do get into teaching to not make money because they seem to not make any.
No, they don't make any here either.
Yeah. And so say I'm going to move. And some guys in my class say, hey, we'll help you move. I would not offer them a special grade or anything, but I would accept their help. You know? So that, and so they can help move my furniture. And they might set foot in the bedroom moving the furniture. There you go. That's the only instance where I can ever see anyone in my bedroom that I either taught or coached.
Never mind getting them drunk and sitting on the bed making sexual noises.
Yeah, no, that would never happen. Yeah, no.
you don't want to be doing that, really. No. Even though she won, I think she hasn't got a career in teaching anymore, let's be honest.
Only noises coming from my bedroom are for me or my wife when she's had a couple of wine coolers, you know what I mean? That's it for the noises.
Okay, that's fair enough.
That's it for the noises coming out of my room.
Except if Sean Belin's there and he's making noises.
Sean
Belin
is not allowed to ever set foot in my bedroom.
I think he'd be rooting through the jaws and sniffing things.
Wolf in the chat room says, well, what if you're a shop teacher and you want to show him a nice oak chest? Well, I guess there's another reason.
That's true.
Or maybe you're teaching HVAC work and you want to show them how your air's working in there. Well, look at that. Check out this vent. check out the good airflow I got from that vent. It's a good one.
My teachers in school, it was, I don't know if it was irony, but we had a physical education teacher called Mrs. Trainer, which is, you know, training shoes trainer.
Right, yeah.
And we also had a woodworking teacher called Mr. Mallet. And this was seriously the names. And I just couldn't, it was just like comedy gold for us. It was always like, you know, we called them funny names. But apparently this girl's name in school was nicknamed the Jock Dwarf. That's what they used to call the teacher. Because of her Scottish accent and being 5 foot. She was the Jock Dwarf.
When I was in high school, I drank at a teacher's house once. But that teacher left, all right, soon after. Uh-huh. Soon after. I think part of the reason was that I was, you know, it was me and a group of other people were out, and we ended up at the teacher's place. I don't even know how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but that teacher ended up getting in trouble, and not because of us. We didn't talk. But I think that there were other people that he was having over. Oh. And then another time, I was at a bar, all right,
mm-hmm.
And it was summer between my, I don't remember. It was summer between my junior and senior years, maybe. I don't know. I was in a band, or it was either between my sophomore and junior years. I don't know. Whatever it was. I was in a bar. was getting hammered,
mm-hmm.
having a good time, and the guy that was playing in a band called up me and another guy from my band, and we were on stage. And I was on the stage and singing with him and drinking. I was like maybe 15 or 16 years old.
Hmm.
And I got down off the stage, and one of the people in the crowd was one of my teachers.
Ah.
And then, so I didn't say anything, and then another teacher was there too.
Oops.
But they didn't say anything. I mean, they could have busted me out, you know.
Yeah, well, that was quite good.
But they didn't. They didn't say anything. They just, you know. In fact, well, one of them bought me a shot.
I used to see, every Friday night, we would go to this rock club in Liverpool City Centre, me and me pal. Yeah. And as we were getting on off the train around 7 p.m, we'd always see our science teacher. You know, we were only 15. We had fake IDs and everything, fake birth certificates too. And we always used to see one of the science teachers get on the train, normally very drunk at like 5 p.m. He must have left school at like 3:30, drove straight into the city centre and got drunk as a skunk.
How old do you have to be to get? How old do you have to be to get in the clubs back then?
18.
Yeah, so you gotta be 21 here.
Ah, so we'd always see him, you know, drunk, and occasionally this was pretty weird. I think this is why I passed science. We used to see him in the company of a man, and they were very over jovial together.
Oh,
if you get me. And he'd be like, "Oh, hello, boys. Are you going to the club?" "Yes, sir." And he'd be like rat ass trying to talk to us, and we'd be just laughing at him.
Rat you out because you knew he was hanging out with guys.
Yeah, he was hanging out with guys and getting drunk straight after school.
I bet you got a good grade in that class.
Oh yeah, I passed. I passed both.
Now let me say, college was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
College was fine. College, I had several drinks with teachers in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I know teachers who were sleeping with students.
Well, it goes on, doesn't
it? But it was college. It just seems different when the student's over 18. It just seems different. My news instructor in college, he was having one-on-one meetings with everybody. His one-on-one meeting with me was at a bar. And we had a couple beers. And he's like, he goes, "You know what? You're never going to do news for a living." He goes, "You need to learn it because you're going to do a talk show where you'll have to talk about it." He goes, "But you're not a news guy. You know what I mean?" He was a really cool teacher. He mm-hmm. just basically said I'd be wasting my time learning all the intricacies of doing news. He said I should learn them because I will always have newsmen or newswomen as part of my show, so he said I should learn what it is that they have to do. But he told me, don't go nuts because I couldn't write news stories. The whole thing was, you know, we had to write news stories that fit into a certain time. For example, mm-hmm. Sean Bolin, you know Shawnee.
Yeah.
You could tell Shawnee, you got 3 minutes for news. And he will sit down at a typewriter with all his notes, and he will type out a script that mm-hmm. will be approximately 2 minutes and 59 seconds, 0.99 seconds. You know what
nice.
I mean? He has that uncanny ability to be that precise. And when he reads it, he'll go, "I'm Shaw Berlin, and that's the news," and boom. That's 3 minutes right there on the nose. This is
if only it could be like that way with women.
That's why they try to teach you in this newscast.
Mm-hmm.
And my news writing was taking up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
I was spending a lot of time doing this. And it was making me crazy that I was coming in at 3 minutes and 1 second, or 2:58, or 3 minutes
sounds
and
like
2 seconds. It drove me crazy. So this guy, this teacher, his name was Jim Scanlon, my news teacher, he basically took me to a bar and he says, "You know what? I'm giving you an A. Quit beating yourself over the head because you can't script out perfectly on the dot 2 minutes or 3 minutes of news. Stop it."
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "This is not what you're going to do." He says, "You are an entertainer." And this is what the Scanlon said. He goes, "News people are not entertainers. news people make entertainers better entertainers. He goes, you're an entertainer. You're never going to be anyone's news person. You're not. So stop wasting your time beating yourself about the head for not being able to do this scripting. So he was a good guy. And he bought me a beer and we had the conversation and he gave me an A and he said, stop worrying. He said, spend your time learning how to write comedy. Spend your time learning how to entertain. Don't spend your time beating yourself above the head because you can't write the perfect amount of copy.
See, if you were to enter into the news reading realm like Sean, you would have been beating your head a lot because you wouldn't have got any women. Look at Sean.
I know. I'm telling you, the reason that this guy, I thought this guy was a great teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't a teacher. His background was not teaching. His background was he was a news guy at radio stations.
Ah.
Who they made a teacher. As an expert, they brought him in to teach. He had never taught before. He was just a news person. So they brought him in, and they had him teach it. He was smart enough to say, listen, I'm just going to give you the A. Stop wasting your time with it, though, and move on to other things that you'll use. And I think that when people do that, when they get someone who has practical experience in a field, they do teach you more than somebody who just learned. That's just my opinion.
It certainly helps that we'll have knowledge of what you're doing.
But we'll move on. Larry King and his seventh marriage.
Oh, that's a lot. Has he got any money left? Have they took him for everything?
Well, Larry King has had seven wives, and his seventh wife, they're divorcing. He claims that his wife has been banging their son's Little League baseball coach. And she claims that he has been banging her sister. Yep.
How's that possible? Is he like 104 or something?
And the thing is, Larry's, I don't know how old Larry King is. He's got to be in his 80s. I mean.
Yeah.
Good Lord. He's been seven times? How do you get married seven times?
He must get them to sign prenups. Because he'd have no money
good
left by now.
Lord. This guy must be thanking the Pfizer company for Viagra. He doesn't pray to God. He prays to the Pfizer company.
He takes one of them as soon as he gets up. He takes one on the hour, every hour. This is CNN.
And he's so damn old, there's no way he gets that up naturally.
No, he has to take seven a day at least.
Well, so today they announced that maybe they're thinking of reconciling. Maybe they won't get divorced afterwards. They're saying they might call off the divorce. So, there you go. That's, you know.
Good old Larry.
Yep.
I just got... Now I'm trying to imagine him. No, I need to stop my brain, because I'm actually trying to imagine how a man of his age, even with blue pills...
By the way,
that's all I'm thinking.
By the way, this wife of his is pretty good looking. Her younger sister's even hotter than she is.
How old's she? Much younger than him, I imagine.
A lot younger. Well, yeah, I mean, his wife's in her... I think his wife is in her 40s, okay?
She's sticking around for the money.
Her sister's in her 30s, and her sister's hot.
She only has to wait another few years. He'll be dead, and she's got all the money, so she's not silly.
I don't know.
It only takes a few years. He'll be dead, especially if he's popping Viagra. His heart's going to burst open.
Here's what TMZ is reporting, all right? TMZ is reporting that Larry King bought his... bought his sister-in-law a $160,000 car, has spent more than $1 million on her.
Nice.
And there have been other things that have let her sister believe that she's having an affair with the Larry King.
Well, that would do it.
Listen, I don't have... My wife doesn't have a sister. But if she did, I sure as hell don't see me spending I don't see me spending anything on her. She's got a brother. I don't spend anything on him, I'll tell you that. You know.
Don't even spend time to talk to him. Never mind money.
I have sisters-in-law, but they're all married to my brothers. But I don't see... I just don't see any way where you'd... I don't see any reason where you'd spend that much money on somebody.
Unless you're banging her.
Right, absolutely.
Yep. It's the only way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just can't imagine him to be a philanderer. He looks half dead on the TV.
Yeah.
Where does the energy come from?
He is looking more like the Crypt Keeper every day, this Larry King, isn't he?
He really is.
You know what I mean?
Welcome.
Everybody says, oh, he's so cool he wears those suspenders. I'll tell you the reason he wears those suspenders is because that's how they strap him to that chair. If he had the suspenders off, he'd just... He'd fall face first on that desk.
They're actually electrodes, which massage his heart with electricity, and he happens to drop dead during...
Whenever he starts to drop dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's electrodes and those suspenders.
This is Larry King Live!
I'm Larry King. What do you do? Oh, well. Well, listen, it's a Friday. I think we should get on with our weekends. I want to thank everybody for listening. Listen, Wolf's in the chat room. I should bring this up to Wolf while he's in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'll end the show. So this Wolf, all right, he goes to me a few weeks ago. He calls me. And Wolf's got this this radio, this internet radio station. He says, I'd love to syndicate the show. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, we have built-in listeners, and it's a lot of Peoria people, and they know me and stuff. He goes, I'd love to put you on my station. And I go, okay, well, yeah, you know, let's talk again in a couple weeks and get me the information. He goes, yeah, well, I'll get hold of you. So this is like a month ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he never called me back, never gave me any passwords or codes. He never gave me anything for me to be able to put the put our show on the station.
Oops.
So I need that. Well, if you got to send me an email, let me know. Is the deal still exist? Did you change your mind or what? We need to know because, you know, I'm in a holding pattern here.
He said the last time we talked to him, you said you would let him know. I guess we're letting him know now.
No,
yes.
I said I would think about it, get hold of me in a couple of weeks to get me get hold of me in a couple of weeks to get me information if I do it. Well, yeah, we're going to do it. I mean, we knew a few weeks ago we were going to do it. I knew like the next day. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Hell, I'll syndicate this show anywhere.
It might be a busy man, though.
Yeah. What the hell? So get me the information.
Get an email, will
you? If it still exists. I don't know if it still exists or not, you know.
Yeah, we'll
do. I mean, listen, if it doesn't, that's cool. If you don't want to do it, I'm a big boy. I'll take it. But
we'll take it on the chin.
Yeah, you know, we'll just move on. But I'm just saying that we're in a holding pattern, and I don't want to, you know, I've got other people, like, you know, the other internet places kind of wanted to do it, and I'm putting other people off, and... Plus, there's another venture that I'm getting into, and there's little things going on. But this show is you know, we love you. You guys definitely can air the show. That's fine, right?
It's allowed.
Gully, you got any problems with it?
No problem whatsoever.
Absolutely not. No.
Of course.
Cool. Get me the information. He says yes. Of course, he wants it. Sorry. Good. Well, that's good.
It's good to feel wanted.
Well, I just need to know. Yeah, it's pretty good. Awesome. All right, you guys, send your emails in to RayLytle@Hotmail.com. Just click on the email Ray button on the front page of ChubbyRay.com if you want to send an email, like all the people that were mad at Gorilla did. Or just send it through Facebook. You can do that. Also, listen, if you like writing stuff, send your scripts in, too. By all means, feel free to do that. Poolside Pat, one of the guys in the chat room, Poolside Pat, always writes stuff for the show, as does guys like DC and P Double. A lot of people write stuff. If you feel like writing something, send it on in. You guys know the things we do. You know our regular segments like Not So True Facts or Vic's Dreams or Ray's Advice, any of those regulars. Or if you've got new ideas, send them in. We'd love to hear them all, okay? You guys, just let us know. We'd, we love our contributions, yeah. Guys are the best. We'll be back on Monday. I'm sure Gorilla will be here as well with his notes from today's show, as he always listens to the Friday show. And we'll talk to you around 4:30 on Monday afternoon. That's it. It is 5:57 as we record this. And that means we're going to end perfectly on time, Gully. How about that?
Amazing things do happen.
Tell your friends, Chubby Ray Live podcast is always available. On demand video, on demand audio, you name it, we've got it available. Just check it out, chubbyray.com. Spread the word, chubbyray.com. Oh, yeah, we're also thinking of getting a Facebook fan page. I'll tell you about that on Monday. Say goodbye, Gully.
Tati Bogle.
So long, everybody. Talk to you. Bye-bye.